Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Tes. We begin at the very top by the brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Choshishin. We don't have to be concerned when you're doing the Bedikas Chametz. You don't have to be concerned that after you're done with doing the Bedikas Chametz, Shema Gerira Chulda Mibayis Labayis, that maybe a Chulda came along. A Chulda is normally translated, as we mentioned previously, as a weasel. And this little weasel came into your house and moved things from one house to another house. So in other words, you cleaned your house before your friend, Rashi says. Ein choshishin kisher badak zov zu, uba libdok zu, shema besoch sheba libdok zu, girua chulda chometz lemakom abadok. You don't have to be concerned that when you checked your living room, that the chulda came after you checked your living room and brought in stuff from your dining room into your living room. So we don't have to be choshesh for this. As Rashi says, otherwise, v'tzrichna lachzor livedok. Otherwise, you'd have to go and do another bedika. So the general rule is, you don't have to be choshesh for these situations. More, we'll explore this obviously a little bit more. Likewise, you don't have to be choshesh mebayis labayis, or mimakom lamakom, even from one place within the same house to another house, as I just said, from the zavis to a zavis, and certainly not from one house to another house. Because otherwise, the imkain, and the davar sofer, the Mishnah is going to tell us, if we are concerned about this, so then you'd have to also be concerned, mechatzu lechatzer, meir leir, and ein ledavar sofer, that if an entire courtyard was cleaned, you'd have to be concerned that another courtyard came in. Rashi points out that this is lav dafka. In these situations, you technically didn't need to do a bedika in those places. And lav chotzer mamish, Rashi says, elakol batei chotzer, kori chotzer. He says, any from one house to another house. Because technically, as we learned in yesterday's Gemara, Ravid said that a chotzer doesn't require bedika because the ravens will come and eat up any chometz there. And certainly a whole city, you don't have to be concerned that all the people in New York did their bedika, in California they're a couple of hours behind, that somehow chometz came from California to New York. So otherwise, ein ledavar sofer, if we had this concern. Gemara starts off and tells us the reason taima de lo chazina de shoka. Maybe the reasoning is because you didn't see a chulda actually carrying chametz from one corner to another corner, from one house to another house, etc. Implication being ho chazina de shoka. If you actually saw a weasel carrying chametz in its mouth, then chayshinan, you would have to be concerned uboy bedika, and you'd have to go and redo a bedika on the corner of the house or on the house because you saw the weasel carrying the chametz. But the Gemara says, "Vamai neima achalte." Why is this implication correct? It shouldn't be correct. What's the weasel doing with this chametz in its mouth? It's going to eat it, and therefore, why should we be concerned that the weasel brought chametz from corner A and brought it into corner B, from room A to room B, from house A to house B? Mistama, the weasel ate the chametz. So why are we saying over here that the implication is because lo chasina de shaka, that we didn't see the weasel come and take it? Implication being that if we did see the weasel, we'd have to be concerned. So the Gemara says, after all, mi lo tzidan. We've learned already in the Mishnah. Now, this is a Mishnah Alos. The Mishnah Alos is dealing with certain types of tumah. Now, Rashi tells us in Maseches Alos, we have their houses, maduros of the kochavim that goyim live in. They're considered tameh for a year to go into there. Why? Because if a woman were to miscarry in those houses, they would go bury the miscarriage right there in the house. And you could follow the opinion of the Chachamim, which is that there is certainly, everybody agrees, as we'll see in a second, there is tumas meis to an akum with maga and masa, with touching or carrying. But there's a machlokus teen, the Chachamim and Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, as to whether there is tumas ohel in regards to a guy. So the Chachamim say, their opinion is that there is tumas ohel via a non-Jewish person's mace. And therefore, if the nepha would be buried anywhere in the house, so then the roof, the ceiling of the house would carry the tumah from one place to another place, and anybody going into that house would become tumas mace. And even Rashi says, if you want a paskal like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who agrees that there's tumas mago and masa, but there isn't tumas oa by a guy, so nevertheless, you have to be concerned over here that maybe as you're walking, you're going to come to move or touch the mace of the akum, and as a result, you may kick up a little bit of the bone, and therefore you become tummy. So whether you hold like Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who's more makel and that there's no tumas ohel, or whether you hold like the Chacham and that there's tumas ohel, so this Mishnah Nolos tells us that midoros ha'ovdei kochon, back to the Gemara now, tumeyim. For a year to go inside there, they'll become tummy. How long must the guy live there in order for us to be concerned that maybe there is a nathal buried over there? So the Gemara tells us, you need 40 days. Rashi says, kidei yitziras havlat, because that's the amount of time that the would take for a woman there to miscarry 40 days. And therefore, if they haven't lived there for 40 days, you don't have to be concerned. The Meiri asks, why aren't we concerned that maybe they came in there when they were already pregnant? So why do we say you need 40 days? Maybe she came in there pregnant and miscarried on day one. So the Meiri says that this is extra chumra here, and by tumma we don't add an extra safek where it's not clearly evident. So we don't have to assume that maybe she was pregnant and miscarried. We can say, well, mistama, she got pregnant over there and miscarried over there, and that would take 40 days, so there'd be tumma savlad, because until 40 days, the vlad is considered maya ba'alma. In any event, this is true, the Mishnah continues, and says, V'af b'she'en lo'isha. This is true even if this guy is not married. As Rashi says, l'fisha choshud u'alasdus, because he could have a out-of-marital relationship, and therefore the girl would live there and would miscarry there, and they would bury the nephil over there. But the Mishnah then says, "V'kol mokum shechulda v'chazir yecholim laloch." But this, if this was in a house, were a place where, in those days, the animals lived inside the house, or were more readily able to come inside the house. So if this was a place where there was a makom, chulda, or chazir, either you had weasels over there, or you had pigs growing over there, yecholim laloch, where they can go easily, ein tzarech bedika, then there's no reason to have a bedika, because we assume in that situation, she'im hushlach shom, Rashi says, chatetuhu v'yachlu, that the weasel or the pig ate the nefel, and therefore, why don't we assume here, too, that the weasel carrying the chametz from the dining room, you're concerned, you're telling us that you have to be concerned that it brought the chametz into the living room. Why don't we just say that it ate the chametz? Just like over here, we're saying the weasel or the chazir ate the nephil. So Rav Zeira says, Lokasha, there's a difference over here. Haba bas or haba lechem. We're dealing with a nephil, that's meat. The pig or the weasel will definitely finish off meat. However, when you're dealing with the bread, with the chametz, maybe not. As the Gemara continues, b'basar lo mishayra, the basar is a delicacy, the weasel ain't leaving any over. However, b'lecha mishayra, it may not finish off all the bread. And therefore, if you see the weasel carrying bread, you have to be choshish that it didn't eat it. If you see the weasel carrying meat, you don't have to be concerned that the weasel didn't eat it. Therefore, in our case, where you see the weasel carrying the bread in its mouth, you have to be concerned that it went from the dining room to the living room, from one house into another house. That's teretz number one, Amar Zera. Amar Rava said, Teretz number two, a different teretz. He says, "Hi, Mai, what are you comparing over here? The house and the nefel, the house with the chametz and the house with the nefel. Doesn't make any sense." Bishlomo hasam. In the case of the Mishnah Olos, we had the nefel. Amor, we say hava amor lo hava. Who says there was a nefel over there? That was a chashash that there's a nefel over there. And even the im timsi lo mar hava, and even if you want to say that there was a nefel over there, amor achalte. Then we have the possibility that the weasel ate the mace, ate the nefel. However, Abul Hocha, in our case, it's one suffix. The Vadai, the Chazina, the Shokal. We see the weasel with food in its mouth. So therefore, Mi Emar Diachalte. Who says that the weasel ate it? That's one suffix. The weasel ate it, the weasel didn't eat it. As opposed to the case of the Nathal and the Mishnah and all those, number one, is there a Nathal over there? And number two, even if there was a Nathal over there, maybe the weasel ate it. So therefore, in the Mishnah all those, it's a double suffix. So therefore, we can be makel. However, in our case, where it's only one suffix, did the weasel eat it or did the weasel not eat it? So heavy suffix, uvadai. It's definitely a vadai that there was chametz over there. We saw the weasel with the chametz in its mouth. So the only question is now, can we take this vadai situation that the weasel is there going from one room to the other room and take a chance that maybe the weasel ate it? That's a suffix. The ain suffix, motzi mide vadai. So Rav is going to tell us this principle that when you have a potential for something to happen, but not a guarantee, it's a suffix, it can't remove things from the vadai status that they already are. So, bottom line is, Rava says, there's vadai chametz over here in the weasel's mouth. And we see the weasel going to a place that was already baduk. And only the question is now, maybe the weasel ate it, maybe the weasel didn't. So you can't go and take this suffix, maybe the weasel ate it, maybe the weasel didn't, Rava says, and remove it from the vadai that the chametz has been brought to the area that was already baduk. So this is the principle that Rav establishes over here. Ein sofik motzi bidei vaadai. And now the Gemara is going to question this in a couple of cases. Really? The Gemara says, ein sofik motzi bidei vaadai? Is that really true? What Rav is telling us, that a sofik doesn't ever remove from a vaadai status? I'll bring you several rayas that it doesn't. The first one is as follows. Well, Tanya, we learned in a braisa. We had this previously, Chaver Shemes. If Nebuch, a Tamil Chacham died, a Chaver is somebody who is a Baki in the Dinim of Trumos and Maisus. That's the definition that we use here for a Chaver. V'hiniach Megura, and he left an entire Otsar, an entire storehouse, Malaya Peros, that he had just plucked the Peros from the tree, Tafil Hein B'nei Yomim, even that very day. So the Din is that we can establish, Harei Hein B'cheskas Mesukanim, we can state for certain that these are in a state of having the trumas and maizes taken off from them, and that any peros that are in this megura, in this storehouse, in this otsar, are definitely chulin. They've already had trumas and maizes taken from them, because the presumption is that a chaver takes off trumas and maizes. Now, why is this a question on Rava, who says, ein sofek motzi midei vaadai? Here, we say that we can absolutely assume that the peros are mesukanim. How come? We know that these peros were definitely tevel to start off with. That's the vaday. And it's only a sofek did the Talmud Chacham they were off. If we knew for certain, so then fine. Then it's a vaday, and it's not a problem. But nobody knows for a fact that this Talmud Chacham took off Trumas and Ma'isos. We're just making an assumption. The sofek mi'usarin, sofek lo mi'usarin. We don't know for certain, did the Talmud Chacham take off Trumas and Ma'isos or not? And therefore, we see that even though it's not a fact, it's not a certainty, it's a sofek, yet it's motzi midei vaadai. Harei hein b'cheskas mesukanim. So because he's sofek that the Talmud Chacham did or didn't take off the trumas of Maisros, umotzi midei vaadai, that it vaadai was tevel beforehand. Kash on you, Rava, here you see that a sofek is motzi midei vaadai. So Rava gives two possible terutzim. First one would be, awesome vaadai or vaadai. No, this is a case of vaadai removing a vaadai. In other words, while it was Vadai Tevel, it's a Vadai that the Talmud Chacham took off Trumas and Maisers from this Magura. Why is that? The Vadai Ma'asrei Kid Rabbi Chanina Chozor. Because Rabbi Chanina, who came from Chozor, he taught us that, in fact, a Talmud Chacham isn't a Sofik, maybe he did or he didn't. A Talmud Chacham, a Chaver, Vadai took off. What did he say? He said, Chazaka, you can take it to the bank. It's an absolute. Al Chaver, She'en Motzi Mitachas Yodo Dover She'en Mesukan. He would never take a chance that somebody would be having a takola because he didn't take off Trumas and Maisers. So the minute the Talmud Chacham brings it to the place where he can take off Trumas and Maisers, he immediately does. So there's no way, it's a Vadai, that this Magura was definitely chulin. He had already taken off Trumas and Maisers. Not a possibility. It's a vaday. Oh, if it's a vaday, so then a vaday can definitely be motzi midei a vaday. But it's not a sofek motzi midei vaday. Rava's principle is intact. That's teretz number one. Alternatively, teretz number two. V'yibayi say more. You could say the exact opposite. You could say it's a sofek v'sofek hu. So you're right. Maybe the Talmud Chacham did take off Trumas and Maisers. Maybe he didn't. That's a sofek. But the Megura is not Vadai Tevel. That's also a Sofik. Why? Because maybe Dilma Meikara Amor. Maybe originally he said, I'm going to bring in my peros in a way that they're not going to be Tevel. Delo Tevile. He had a trick over here, Rabbi Yoshaya. He did what Rabbi Yoshaya said technically is a person allowed to do. We already had previously that the earlier generations, they would look for ways to go and be Mechayev Trumas and Maisers, and the later generations already started looking for loopholes and tricks not to be Mechayev. But in any event, the halacha is Rabbi Yoshaya. The Amar Rabbi Yoshaya said, Marim Adam al Tavoso. If a person wants to do a loophole, if he wants to go do a trick over here, he can be very, very smart. He can be very sly and bring in his tvua umachnisa b'motz shelah and bring it in while it's still not yet doshed, it's not yet winnowed, so it's still inside the stalk. And if you bring in wheat inside the stalk, and why would you do this? Because you want to feed it to your animals. Your animals are allowed to eat stuff that hasn't had trumas and maisers taken from it. So your animal will eat it. This way you won't lose all the truma and the maisa risha, the maisa sheni, the maisa ani, that you would normally take off from this. You feed it straight to your animal. So if you bring it in while it's still in its moats, while it's still inside the stalk, inside with all the chaff before you winnow it, kadesh b'emto ocheles, uptura min ha-maiser. In this situation, you're in fact not obligated to take off trumas and maisers. So maybe that's what happened over here. And as a result, while we could say that it's only a suffix, did the Talmud Chacham, did the Chaver take off Trumus and Isis on this Megura Malaya Peros, we could also say that who says it was Vadai Tevel? Maybe, in fact, he did this slyness, this loophole of Rav Hoshaya, and therefore, it's in fact a case of suffix, did the Talmud Chacham take off or not take off, being able to be motzi from a different suffix, was it in fact tevel, or was it not chayev in trumos and maestros? And therefore, Rav is intact again. Gemara tries again. Gemara says, really, Rav, ain suffix motzi mi devadai? Is it true that you're saying that a suffix cannot remove a vadai? And therefore, if we see the chulda carrying a piece of chometz in its mouth, you definitely have to do another bedikah because it's a vadai that there was chometz there and it's only a suffix, did the chul to eat it or not? Is that really true? If ain't suffix most of me, they're vadai. I'll show you a different price that it says that that's not right. Votanya, we're learning a different price where it says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda tells us, Maisei b'shivchaso shol meitzik echa berimo. One time it happened that there was a shivcha, a maid servant that belonged to this maitzik. Rashi tells us that this maitzik is inish alma, a tough guy, a strong-armed guy. And here, b'Yisrael, he was a yid. He was a Jewish strong-armed guy. Alma means a powerful, tough guy. We have a principle in regards to Dinei Mamonos where we say, call the alma gvar. The stronger one sometimes will win in a case where there's no clear-cut halacha. In any event, so there was this tough guy in the city of Rimon, and Rav Yehuda says that shehitila nefel abar, this maidservant of his had a pregnancy, and she nebuch miscarried, and he threw the nafel inside a pit. Now, whether this maidservant was a Jewish maidservant or a non-Jewish maidservant, the dinim of tumentara after a nafel apply in either event. So, ubach kohen, a kohen came along, the heitzisbo, he looked into the pit, and the Brisa tells us he wanted to find out. That's why he looked into the pit. Leida im zacharu im nekevahi. He wanted to see whether this stillborn, this nafel that was in the pit, was a boy or a girl, because this would have halacha lemaisa ramifications for the mother who miscarried. We know the famous rule from Parshas Tazria that when a woman gives birth to a boy, to a male, so then she's tumeya for 7 days, and then she's tahora for 33 days, for the total of 40 days. When she gives birth to a girl, everything is doubled. She's tameh for 14 days, but she's tameh for 66 days, for a total of 80 days. So this Kohen looked over the pit to see the gender of the nafel that was in the pit. Leida im zacharhu im nekevahi. He wanted to see what the gender was for tumah and tahara purposes. Now, was this Kohen now tameh? If he was mahil over the nafel, if his body was over the nafel, so then he would become tameh. So this question was asked to Bamaisel of Nechachamim. They asked the Talmidei Chachamim, what is the halacha over here? And they said that this Kohen, v'tiaru, he is not tamei. Why is that? Because they said that mipnei shechulda ubardulus mitzuyim sham. Because weasels, which eat nafels, as we have already previously established, and bardulus is a big machlokus exactly what a bardulus is. Rashi has a foreign language term for it. And there's much discussion as to what the bardulus is. Suffice to say, it's certainly some sort of a small predatory animal that would obviously eat the nafel. And you have different definitions, including that it would be a polecat, a viper, some sort of a snake, a hyena, a cheetah, various different definitions for what exactly this bardulus is. It's similar to a weasel in that it eats nafel. That's what we're really interested in right now. Bottom line is, we can assume that the chulda or a bardulus ate the nafel, and that's why the chachamim were mitar over here, this kohen. But how come? There was vadai and nafel over here. The vadai hetila. We stated that this meitzik definitely threw a nafel into this pit. And it's only a question, did or did not the chulda or the bardulus go and eat it? Visafek giraru, visafek lo giraru. Did they drag it away and bring it into their caves underneath the ground from this pit? That moment at Haishaita. So when the coin looked over, can we assume there was a nafel underneath him where he stood over it or not? So maybe the chuld or the barless moved it away, giraru, or maybe they didn't. And what do we say there? The chacham and paskin b'tiaru. So what do we see? This is a suffix. Maybe the weasel or the barless pulled away the nafel, maybe it didn't, because he suffix, or mostly they vadai, and yet there was vadai and nafel over there, and this suffix, maybe the chulda or the bardulus pulled it away, is able to be motzi from the din of the vadai that there was tum over there, and v'tiaru. So suffix is motzi b'dei vadai, kashon rava. Shmuel says, not so fast. Lo tema sheitila nafel labor. Don't say that there was a vadai that they threw a nafel into the bor, because then that would be a vadai that there was a nafel in the bor. Ela ema, read it as follows, sheipilo kemin nafel labor, that they threw something that was like a nafel into the bor. It's a suffix. Was it a nafel or was it not a nafel? Oh, now we're going to have a situation where it's no longer suffik motzi mide vadai, but it's going to be suffik motzi mide suffik, because we don't know was a nafel definitely thrown into the bar. Now, they use the different terminology here, hepila versus hetila, and some of the mefarshim delete the word hepila because it should have been hetila, and they just say, el ema kimin nafel abar. When they hetila, when they threw it in, I'm not sure what the difference would be between hetila, they threw it in, and hepila, and they miscarried it in there, so to say. I'm not sure what the practical difference would be, but some aren't going to the word hepila because it's a different word. In any event, the bottom line is, they have a suffix, the suffix. Now we have a suffix. Maybe the chuld of the baril is goruruha, they carried it away, or maybe they didn't carry it away. But it was only, maybe there was a nafel there, maybe not, because not every nafel is going to be metame. So this was something that was kemin nafel labor. It was something like a miscarried tissue, but maybe it wasn't, in fact, halachically a nafel, and therefore it didn't have tumah. So therefore, this is a suffix and a suffix, and no kashon rava. Mor says, but read the Braisa. The Braisa said, why did the Kohen come? Uba Kohen v'heitz his bow. It seems to say that there definitely was a nafel there, and all the Kohen was coming to do was to look to see what the gender was. And therefore, how can you tell me that it's only a suffix there was a nafel there? From the language of the Braisa, it certainly indicated he was going to look, v'heitz his bow, leida im zocharu im nekevahi. So, implies that there was a vade nafel, a kasha on your teretz. So the Gemara says, no, Hochi Kamar. This is what the Bryce is actually saying. Number one, he went to look, Leida im ruach epila, im nefel epila. He went to look first to see whether it was just a ruach. A ruach would mean that it was something that was just maybe an amniotic sac without a fetus inside of it. In other words, it would not be substantive to make tumas mace. And therefore, he went to see, was there something there or was there nothing there? Im ruach epila, and there's no nefel, and it's not halakhically a concern of tumah. Or im nefel epila. Or if in fact she was mepil a nefel, there really was a miscarriage, and it would be something that would be metame. And then, assuming that was the case, v'im timtzelomar nefel epila, and if in fact it was an nefel, then he went to see what would be the duration of the tumah. Leidaim zachuhu mekevi. Was it a 7:33 or a 14:66 day period of tumah? So therefore, it is a suffik, and therefore, suffik is motzi midei suffik, and no kashan rava to say that this is a case of suffik motzi midei vadai. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, no, like we said previously, it definitely was a vadai over here that the chulda or the bardalis was giraru. It's not a suffix. Why? Because kivan the chulda or bardalis mitsuyim sham. This was a place where these animals were running about like crazy. There was lots of chuldas and bardalises around over here, and therefore vadai giraru. It wasn't a suffix, maybe the chulda or bardalis came. There were chuldas and bardalises all around over here. And therefore, by the time the Kohen stuck his head over there, vadai, that the nafel wasn't there. So therefore, in this situation, it's a vadai, definitely the chulda, the bardalis, giraru, and not a suffix. And therefore, a vadai can be motzi from vadai, no kashan rava. Rashi points out, to make the next piece of Gemara understandable, it's if the Gemara is now asking over here, what about the previous case where we said that maybe the chulda didn't eat up all the chametz? Why aren't we concerned about that over here too, that the chulda didn't eat up all of the nafel, the bardalis didn't eat up all of the nafel? So granted, it's vadai that it's eating some of it, but who says it ate all of it? And that's what Rashi says over here in Dibur Maskil, vadai guraru. The lo domi l'masnisa, this is different than the case of our Mishnah, where we said, diktani hochazina, where we see the chulda having the chametz in its mouth, that we do have to be concerned in that situation. We said the implication of our Mishnah was chashinon, the need of vadei ochla lo omar, that we don't definitely say that it ate it all up. So the Gemara's question is, how come we don't say over here that maybe the chulda and the bardalis didn't eat up the entire nafel? So Gemara says, you're right. That would be true. Need the shayure mishaira. You're right. We can't say that the chulda or the bardalis definitely ate up all of the navel. It's possible that it left some over. However, migrar miyas vaday girarum by shaita. But there's no doubt that it took the entire the chulda or the bardalis took the entire navel and carried it away, so the coin's not mild over it. And therefore, this isn't a similar analogy to the case of our Mishnah, where we said the chulda has it in its mouth, maybe it ate it, maybe it didn't eat it. Here, you're right. Maybe the chulda on the barrel is ate the nafel or didn't eat the nafel, but the bottom line is, it definitely was girarum. It definitely dragged it away, so the coin's not mile over it. Now, the Gemara has, in parentheses here, a lishnachrina, which essentially says the same thing, so some delete this lishnachrina. So, in any event, we'll read the lishnachrina. Lishnachrina, even though we don't want to say that the chulda of the bile is definitely ate up the entire nefel, but certainly, vaday giraru l'chorayu amrina, we definitely do say that it dragged it to its hole, and the hole is going to be deep in the ground or off to the side, that there's no concern over here of the Kohen, when he's looking to see if it was a gender of the male or a female, is metame via tumas ohel. Fine. We conclude these questions on Rava. Gemara still asks, Umi amrinon in choshishin shemo garu rechulda. Who says in our Mishnah, the implication was we said only that if we saw the chulda with the chometz in its mouth, are we concerned? But the Mishnah stated that we're not choshesh if we don't see a chulda with chometz in its mouth, that maybe a chulda came and brought chametz from an unchecked area into a baduk area, and you have to repeat the bedika. Is that really true? Vaktani sefer, but read the rest of the Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah, when we say the sefer of the Mishnah, it doesn't always mean the way our Mishnah is physically located. In the Mishnayis, you don't have the Gemara in between, so the Mishnayis are often lumped together, and therefore you can have a ration and a sefer, where in the Gemara, it can be separated by a couple of pages. And the sefer of this Mishnah is actually in tomorrow's share, on Daf Yud Amud Beis. And it's going to say over there, Mashi Mishayir, whatever a person decides to leave over after he does his bedikas chametz on the night of Yudalit. He wants to have Cheerios the next morning. He wants to have a sandwich the following morning. So he doesn't have to get rid of his chametz on the night of the 14th. He can wait till the following morning, eat his breakfast, and then dispose of any additional chametz. So it says there, Mashem Shire, any chametz that you're leaving over after the bedikah, Yanichenu Betzina, you should very carefully put it into a tzina place. In other words, it shouldn't be someplace that's easily accessible, because if it's easily accessible, you'd have to be concerned that a chulda came and brought it to a place that was already baduk. Shlo yitzorech bedika achrav, because you'd have to be concerned that a chulda came and moved it from the non-baduk place, from where you have it, to a baduk place, and you'd have to do another bedika. So you see that we are concerned, even if you don't see the chulda with the chametz in its mouth. So how can you tell me ein choshen shema gerar chulda? So we have a couple of terutz up here. Amar Abaye, Abaye says lo kasha. It's not a steerer between the Reish and the Sefer of the Mishnah. It depends when. Har biar boasar. This Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Beis is already talking about on the 14th of Nisan. Whereas the Reisha, our Mishnah, is talking about Har Bishloshasar on the 13th of Nisan. What's the difference between the 13th and the 14th? Bishloshasar on the 13th day of Nisan, the Shchiach Rifta Bekulubate. There's plenty of chametz still around, all over the house. You haven't done your bedika yet. And therefore, when the chulda sees chametz, lo mitzana, it's not going to go and hide it, because it's going to see plenty of chametz around, and therefore, it's not going to try to store any chametz away. However, be'al basar, it already sees that there's a scarcity of chametz around, the lo shchiach rifto bekulubate, hey, where's all the chametz? The chametz isn't around, so the chulda gets smart, so to say, and matzna, and it goes and hides some chametz away. So that's why, even if you don't see the chulda with chametz in its mouth, in the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis, what we call the Sefer, where it's already on your Dalet, and the Chulda sees that there's no Chometz around, we have to be concerned that the Chulda is going to go and hide Chometz in a place that's Baduk. But on Yud Gimel, which is our Mishnah, so then that's not something that the Chulda is going to do. And only if you see the Chulda with Chometz in the mouth do you have to be concerned, but otherwise you don't have to be concerned. That's what Abaye says. And this is a little bit of a tough teretz, which Rava himself questions. I'm a Rava. And he has a very, very poetic, beautiful phrase here. He says, "V'chi chulda neviyahi? Is this weasel, this chulda, a neviyah?" Of course, there's the great neviyah, chulda. And she really was a neviyah. She was a prophetess. So he's playing on the idea. Is this chulda a prophetess, like the neviyah chulda was? Diyada da'idna arbeisa, that this chulda is able to know what the calendar is. Oh, if it's Yud Gimel today, there's going to be plenty of chametz around. And if it's Yud Dalet, I know there's not going to be a lot of chametz around. So this chulda is so smart, diyada da'idna arbeisa, v'lo ofayad l'urta, and it's going to know that there's not going to be a lot of baking until they make the matzah the following night, or mishayru matamra, and therefore, it better says, I don't think there's going to be a good stash of food for me, I better put some away for the future. Is the chulda really that smart to know this? Is the Chulda, so to say, a prophetess that is able to know this? That's a simple way to understand this. The Yaivitz of Yaakov Emden, Hagosa Yaivitz, he says, no, this has nothing to do with Nevuah. It's a very poetic language over here, but this is something that in the animal kingdom, he brings down from a Yerushalmi, where it discusses mice that seem to know sometimes when there's a famine and they'll act in a different way when there's a time of famine. Animals have a certain instinct, they have a certain sense of times of famine, just like an animal will sometimes know that there's going to be an earthquake and it scutters away well before there's any evidence of the earthquake or other natural phenomena. So the animals have certain instincts, a certain sense. So he says too, the Chulda recognizes when there's a time of scarcity and recognizes when there is a time of plenty. And that's why Abaye's Teretz isn't totally wrong, but Rava disagrees with it. And therefore Rava says, Eloma Rava, Masha Mishayer, Yanichenu Bitzina. That which the Mishnah on Yudom Beis tells us, the Sefer tells us that if you have leftover chametz that you want to eat or you want to save for your dalet in the morning, so if you have this leftover chametz, you have to put it in a secure place, Bitzina. Because maybe a chulda is going to come and take it while we see it. And that will be the case of where you actually see the chulda. That was the implication of our Mishnah, that if you don't see the chulda, then you don't have to do bedikah. The implication was, if you do see a chulda with its mouth full of chametz, you do have to do bedikah. And the Sefer, the Mishnah on Yud Omid Beis, in fact, tells us that, because maybe Shematito Chulda Bifaneinu, we're going to see the Chulda take a piece of chametz right in front of us, and then the Yitzarach B'dika Achrav. So therefore, go and put the chametz that you've left over after the B'dika, Yanichenu B'tzina, go and put it in a separate place, in a safe place, where you definitely won't have to be concerned that the Chulda will come and take it. And in fact, we have a brisa supporting Rava's teretz. Tanya Kavosi the Rava. We have a brisa that says exactly what Rava said. If you want to save some chametz after your bedikas chametz, to have breakfast the next morning, you want to put some Cheerios aside, what should you do? Ketzed yaseh. How should you handle this? Masha mishayir, any leftover chametz, you should put in a very secure place. Yanichena betzina, put it in a private place, betzina, in a place where animals can't reach it. Shalotavu chulda v'titol b'faneinu. So a chulda shouldn't come and take it right in front of us, and we'll see the chulda with stuff in its mouth. Now we're going to have to do another bedika. A third teretz that the Gemara gives is for Rav Mari. Rav Mari Omar Gezeira Shemayaniach Eser V'Yimtzoteisha. You know what the problem is? You're going to leave over 10 pieces of bread, 10 little crackers for the morning, and you're only going to find 9. V'Yimtzoteisha. In that situation, you absolutely have to be concerned that the holder came and went and carried the chametz into a baduk place, and you're going to have to do another bedika. And therefore, he says, go put it in a set place, in a very tzinodika place, where you'll be able to guarantee that you're not going to have put 10 there and then find 9. Right? When we put out for the bedikas chametz, there are those that have the custom to put out 10 pieces of bread. So the whole shakavataya discusses what happens if you only find 9. That's why some are against the custom of putting out the 10 pieces of bread, because what happens if you only find 9? But in any event, Rav Mari is telling us here that the Mishnah on Yud Amud Beis is talking about that you should put your chametz that you're leaving over in a tzinah place, in a very protected place, so you don't run into this problem that you originally put 10 crackers over there and now you're only going to find 9. Those are the three terutzim to our question, the stira, the seeming stira between the reisha of our Mishnah and the seifa of our Mishnah, which is found on Yud Amud Beis. Now the Gemara is going to have a whole separate discussion. And this is a very famous discussion, the famous discussion about the Teisha Chanuyos. When you have 9 stores selling kosher meat and you have 1 store that's selling trefa meat, how do we deal with when you find a piece of meat? So we're going to relate this famous discussion about the meat to a discussion about chametz. And we start off, the Gemara says, Teisha Tziburin Shomatzah. You have 9 piles of matzah, non-chametz, and you have 1 pile, the Echad Shel Chametz, and you have 1 pile of chametz dicker stuff. So you have, again, their matzahs looked like pitas, so they were matzah in terms of not having chametz in them, but you couldn't physically tell the difference between a matzah and a chametz dicker piece of bread. Again, we could use the same imagination in our minds to take matzah that is made that's not kosher l'Pesach, and it looks exactly the same as matzah that is kosher l'Pesach. In any event, you have these 9 piles of matzah, and you have 1 pile of chametz. V'asa achbar v'shokal. A mouse comes along and takes from one of these 10 piles. V'lo yadina, we don't know. I matzah shokal, I chametz shokal. If it in fact took from the matzah piles, or it took from the 1 chametz pile. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara tells us this is exactly the case. Hainu, the famous Teisha Chanuyos. This is the famous 9 stores that sell kosher meat and 1 store that sells non-kosher meat. And in this situation, the halacha will be the same, which we'll discuss in a moment what the halacha is. Likewise, Peirash, if somehow these bundles of the 9 matzah or the 1 chometz got somehow separated and 1 matzah is found not with the bundles, either the 9 bundles of the matzah or the 1 bundle of chametz, you find now an isolated matzah someplace. Is it chametz? Did it come from the 1 that was chametz, or did it come from the 9 bundles that were matzah? Pirash, if it's separated, and now also achbar v'shokal, and now a mouse took this and brought it into a place that was baduk. So what's the din? Hainu seifa. This is analogous to the seifa of the famous Teisha Chanuyos case. Now, what is the Teisha Chanuyos case, and how is it analogous over here to our 2 different scenarios of the 9 piles of matzah and the 1 pile of chametz? So the Gemara tells us, now we have the gears in the Gemara of Ditznan, which implies that the Teisha Chanuyos is in fact a Mishnah, but on the side it brings down that this is a Braisa, the Tanya, and that's what it should be, the Girsa. And the famous Teisha Chanuyos scenario is as follows. You have Teisha Chanuyos Kulam Ochrim Basa Shchuta. You have 9 butchers that sell only kosher meat. All the meat in their stores are basar shchuta, kosher meat, glat kosher meat. So you have 9 stores that are perfectly kosher. The achas mocheres basar nevela, and 1 store sells nevela meat. Now, a person went into the store. He was under the impression that all the stores in the town, let's say, are under the vat. So he didn't realize he's coming into a borough park, he's coming into a kosher neighborhood, and he just assumes every store is under the vat. And he goes into one of the stores, he has no idea which store he went into, and he bought meat there. Now, v'lo kach miachas mihen, he doesn't know from which store he bought it from. So in this situation, the Braisa tells us, Sveiko Osur. We have to assume that he took it from, in fact, the non-kosher store. Now, from a statistical point of view, it's a 90% chance he took it from a kosher store and a 10% chance that he took it from a treifa store. But that's not the way this halacha works. Rashi brings down, over here we have the famous principle, Kol Kavua Kemechsa Al Mechsa Domi. We have the principle that when there's a suffix over here, and he took it from a definitive place, it was a kavua place, he bought it from one of these 10 stores. We just don't know which one. So when you have such a scenario, we don't view it as a 90% chance versus a 10% chance, but we view it as a 50-50 in halacha, because he took it from a kavua place. And the basic 2 statuses of the kavua places were kosher or non-kosher. So even though it was 90% chance that it was kosher and 10% chance only that it was treif, we view it as a 50-50, and therefore 50-50 sveiko in this situation is osur. However, the second part of this braisa ubenimtza, when he finds meat in the street, so now he's coming upon this meat right now. It's not kavua. It came from someplace, but we don't know where, but it wasn't taken from a kavua place. We just find it now. Somebody dropped a piece of meat over here. That wasn't from a kavua place. They dropped it from the person. And therefore, benimtza, now we have the halachic right to go holech achar harov. Here you can go, well, it's 90% chance that it's kosher, 10% chance that it's treif. Holech achar harov. You're allowed to go after the rov. And here we follow a different principle, which is called the parish. When something's separated, we are allowed halachic to say, meruba parish. It halachically separated from the rov. Exactly this principle of the Teisha Chanuyos is what we apply with the Achbar. In the first case, the Achbar took from a pile. There were 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. And the Achbar came, also Achbar v'shakal. So he said, in this situation, it's analogous to the 9 stores where the person went into one of the stores and bought the chametz in the store. Here the Achbar took the chametz from one of these 10 piles, we just don't know from which one. So therefore, in this situation, you have to do a bedika. However, in the situation where the Achbar is just seen with a piece of matzah or chametz in its mouth, we don't know which one it is, so then in that situation, it's the analogous to the Venimtza case, and you have the right halachically to go after the rov, and you can assume that the Achbar took the 90% likelihood that he took non-chametz into the house, and it doesn't require another bedika. The Gemara will later on explain that part of the reason behind this is because bebit will be al-masagi. It's not really going to be a machlokas daraisa. It's only going to be on a daraisa level. You're going to be mevatel it anyway, so it's all going to be a din derabanan, and therefore we can go lakul over here and go after the rov. The next situation is the following case. Shnei tziburin. You have two piles over here. Straightforward, two piles. Echad shel matzah, v'echad shel chametz. One of the piles is a pile of matzah, and the other is a pile of chametzdika matzah, chametzdika bread. And therefore, v'lifneim shnei batim. And it's right in front of two houses. And again, one of these houses was baduk, echad baduk, v'echad sheino baduk. Again, so we have the scenario here. We have a piece of challah and a piece of matzah. And you have a house that was checked and a house that was not checked. And of course, our mice come along. V'asu shnei achbarim, two mice come along, and each of them carries one of the two pieces of bread or matzah that we have. One of them takes the matzah and one of them takes the bread. Echad shakal matzah v'echad shakal chametz. And which house did they take him into? We don't know. V'lo yadinan, hey lahai oil, v'hei lahai oil. One mouse took the matzah into one of the two houses. And the other mouse took the chametz into the other of the two houses. So we know each house now has either inside of it chametz or matzah. One house was baduk, one house was not baduk. So what is the halacha here? So the Gemara says, this is analogous to the famous case of the following brisa, hainu shtei kupos. This is the famous two kupa case. Again, our gears in the Mishnah is that it's a Mishnah, that's not. But again, on the side here, it says that the proper gears should be the Tanya. In any event, the Braisa tells us this is the case over here of the shtei kupos. The Tanya, shtei kupo. Person has two chests in front of him, two kupas, two boxes in front of him. Acha shel chulin, one has chulin inside of it. Acha shel truma, one has truma inside of it. Now, obviously, only a kohen can eat the truma. Anybody can eat the chulin. And what happens? V'lifneim shnei sa'im. And you have two small amounts in front of you, sa'in worth of produce, one of which is echa shel chulin, one is chulin, v'acha shel truma, and one is truma. So you have these small containers, one of which has truma and one of which has chulin in it, and they fall into echad shel chulin, echad shel truma, fall into v'naflu elu sochelu. The saw of truma fell into one of these two kupos, and the saw of chulin fell into the other of the two kupos. So again, each kupa, one of which was chulin, one of which was truma, now had something fall into it. So what's the halacha? So the Braisa tells us both of them are permissible. Mutarin. In other words, we can assume here that the kupa that had truma had the truma fall into it, and the kupa that had the chulin fall into it. Shani Omer, we're allowed halachically to say the chulin leto chulin noflu, the chulin fell into the chulin, and utruma lesok truma nofla. Now, why are you allowed to say this? So the Gemara is ultimately going to tell us because we're dealing with Truma the Rabbanan, and with Truma the Rabbanan, we can say, Hey Mamru, the Hey Mamru. The rabbi said this situation, this applies, but they also said in this situation, it doesn't apply. So that will be the explanation why we assume this in the Braisa. So the bottom line is that the Braisa tells us we are halachically allowed to say, Ani Omer, Chulin Latoch Chulin Noflu, and Truma Latoch Truma Noflu. So therefore, in our case as well, with the two mice, that one brought the chametz into one of the houses, one brought the matzah into one of the houses, we're allowed to assume that the house that was already baduk, that got matzah. And the house that wasn't baduk, that in fact got the chametz. Gemara says, really? Amor, Damrin, and Shani Omer. When do we say over here, Shani Omer? Maybe we only are allowed to say Shani Omer, and we turn to Yoram and Aleph, b'truma, that is derabanan. Because you're dealing over here, Bisman Azer, Rashi says, when you're dealing with truma derabanan, so it'll be questioned whether the truma is derais or derabanan, in the Bayesheni period of time, but everybody agrees that Truma nowadays is the Rabbanan. When Nebuch, most people don't live in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. In any event, so maybe we're allowed to say with the two kupas and the two sa'in that fell into them because it's all a din the Rabbanan. However, b'chameitz daraisa miyamrinon, but how can we say over here, by the din daraisa, you're not allowed to have chametz in your house, so that's a din daraisa, maybe you can't say ani omer when it comes to din daraisa. So Gemara says, no, this is also din the Rabbanan. Atu b'dikas chametz daraisa? Is b'dikas chametz a din daraisa? It's also d'rabbanan. It's also din d'rabbanan because the midaraisa bebitul bi'alma sogile. Because in fact, bitul is adequate. The person just has to say, I hereby am avatal kol chamir v'chamir adika b'rushusi. Any chametz I have in my possession, it should be ke'afra di'ara, like we say in the gifts of the beer chametz. So therefore, midaraisa, you don't own this chametz. So the whole din is a din derabbanan. Again, midarabbanan, we're allowed to say, hey mamru ve hey mamru. They said, yes, we're making you do a bedika, but in this situation, where we have the likelihood of being able to say, or the possibility of being able to say, that the mouse brought the matzah into the already baduk house, and the other mouse brought the chametz into the non-baduk house, so since it's all only a din derabbanan, we have the right to say, ani omer, just like we had by the case of the kupa, that had the saw of Truma, we can say that the saw of Truma fell into the Kupa of Truma, and the saw of Chulin fell into the Kupa of Chulin. It's all Bidrabanan, and one could be Mekel. This concludes today's shiur. We'll have many additional cases that are similar to this, where we say that a case by Chametz is analogous to a case someplace else. With this, we conclude today's shiur.